WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. While I was in D.C., listen, I had missed doing these Bible studies. I had them called up until Monday before I went to D.C., but now that I'm back, I've spent this week recovering. I've been sick with this old cold, and I still look sick, so please forgive me. But I want to get back started in the Bible study because I tell you what, we are learning so much, Bride. Right now, we're in Exodus chapter 32. And we're in a very awesome time in the Bible. We're learning a lot about God's character. Who is God? Who is God the Father? I think it's a terrible thing if we do not understand the different parts of the Trinity. We have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The first part of the Bible shows us who God the Father is. His character, how he thinks, what his heart is. In the middle is Jesus. We see Jesus's character, and then we see the Holy Spirit, which is what we have now. He is our teacher and our guide, and he will always highlight Jesus and highlight the Word. Amen. All right, well, let's get in our Bibles now to Exodus chapter 32. And remember, I always use the King James. And I will never stop using the King James. When I went to the American Bible Museum in D.C., I saw how I need to continue using the King James Version. And then I used the YouVersion app is what reads to us. So let's go over to Exodus 32 and get started.
Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron.
All right, pause, Bride. Pause. Remember where we left off. I'm remembering all this now. This is so exciting. God met Moses up on the mountain, and boy, did he show himself strong. He was doing all kinds of showing out signs, miracles, and wonders, lightnings, and the mountain shaking and all that, remember? And he showed him all these different things. So now he's coming off the mountain. So let's see what happens, Brad.
And said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us.
What?
For as to this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him.
What the world? Brad, remember where we was at. Listen, God is up there showing out on the mountain, okay? He is up there showing out. He is showing Israel who he is. He is doing great signs, miracles, and wonders. They are seeing him. He's already parted the Red Sea. He's already delivered them. He's fed them by manna and fed them all these quails, remember? And so now here they are. They're impatient while Moses is up on the mountain. Remember, he was up on the mountain for 40 days. So now they're impatient. And they're saying, What? Let's see what happens.
And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me.
All right, well, let's picture him here a minute. Now, this is Aaron. He knows what God told Moses. He knows what's going on. But what does he do, Brian? He bows to the pressure of the people. Is that not what a lot of ministers are doing today? Yes, they are bowing to the pressure of the people. They are watering it down and raising up these idols in the church. And that's what's happening right here. Let's see what happens, Brad.
All people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool.
So now he's helping.
Made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
What? Pause. I just noticed something, Brad. Not only are they building this golden calf up, okay, but now they're saying that this is what brought them out of Egypt. What? Taking the glory away from God and giving it to this false idol. Please, oh my goodness, can you imagine how mad God would get over that one? Come on now.
Saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
What?
And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings.
Oh my goodness.
And sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
All right, now let's examine this a minute, Brian. What the world? He knows who the real God is. He knows the truth. But yet, he is bowing to the pressure of the children of Israel. And then he turns around and participates with them. And then offers all this up to him, to the false gods. Can you believe it, Brad? Do y'all not see that this is happening today in the church, in a lot of them?
And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.
Oh my goodness. Okay, now here's God up there with Moses. And he's telling Moses, go down there and get them, because you know God is mad. Oh my goodness.
But turn aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Okay, now let's pause here. This is another way to look at this, Brian. When we just did this 40 days fasting and prayer, we use this as a model of the repentance, okay? Because God was real with Moses, and God said, This is what your people have done. And then when Moses repents, you will see that he is really God himself. He admits what he's done. So God is letting him know. God is being fair with Moses, who is the leader of the people. And he's telling him this is what they did in the transgression that they have done. Oh my goodness.
And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation.
All right, now picture this bride. Okay, he's telling Moses, Moses, leave me alone. Like, I mean, can you imagine, like, how God's thinking right now? He's like, leave me alone, Moses. Because if you look at the previous chapters, he was showing out to them. He was really blowing it up. The way he was doing everything, the lightnings and the shaking of the mountain and all the great signs, miracles, and wonders that he did for them and how he babied them, basically. He babied them in the wilderness. He took care of them. He fed them. You know, their shoes didn't wear out or anything like that. And now they did this detestable thing. And not only, bride, did they build the calf, but now they're giving glory to another. And remember, we talked about this on previous Bible studies. God wants the glory. He is a jealous God. And if we're going to give glory to something else, we have had it. Well, I mean, that's it. And so that is what has happened right here. How sad is this? Because he says, and the Lord said, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. In other words, he has seen their hearts. They're stubborn. And he says, now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now look, bride, consider this. Moses could have said, yeah, that sounds good. God, go ahead and wipe out my people and it'd be just me and you. I'll get all the benefits. You know what I mean? He could have been stubborn like that, like a lot of people might be today. But I think Moses is going to have a different reaction. Let's see what happens here.
And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people.
Okay, let me, there's so much right here that we could say, bride, to start with. Okay, Moses has this open access to the king. This is to God the Father. He has this open access to the king that he can be bold with him like this. He can say, God, why would you do this to your own people? Everybody knows you brought them out. And if you destroy them, how will this make your name look? It's because Moses had an upright heart before God. He had a relationship with God. He walked in purity and holiness, and he walked into a relationship with God where he could talk like this. And see, this is him, like, talking to God, like, wanting to get to know him, like, am I understanding my God in this way? And I think it's really awesome that God even allowed him to address him in this manner, because if you know Kings, you have to have permission to speak before kings, and you're not allowed to, you know, usurp authority over them or try to override them or anything like that. So I think it's pretty neat that God let him speak and address him with such boldness. Okay, so let's continue.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.
Okay, now right here, bride, he is reminding God, God, this is what you said. This is a very good part here where we will know as Christians to remind God of his word, remind him of the promises that he's made to us. This is our inheritance as children. Wow! He considered Moses. He considered what Moses said. How awesome of a God is that? that he would change his mind. He wanted Moses to intercede on behalf of the people. That is what we did on this 40 days prayer. We went before the Lord and interceded on behalf of the bride of Christ and on behalf of the nation. It's pretty awesome. Let's see what happens here.
And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables.
Pause, pause, pause. Right. This is like the very first Bible. Think about this. It's like the very first Bible, and he gives it to Moses like, this is a gift to your people. I'm going to show you what I expect, the boundaries that I'm making here, these laws. Remember, he gave him those laws up there? And he gave it to him in his own writing. Like, this is the king's signet ring. You know, you are taking my laws down here, and this is what I want. How precious are those tablets? That's the word of God, the life of God, breathed onto these tablets. My goodness.
And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear.
Wow.
It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and brake them beneath the mount.
Oh.
And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it.
What? Pause! I never saw this before, Brian. Oh my goodness! You've got to be kidding me! Whoa! Not only did he destroy the Ten Commandments, the tablets, in his wrath, in his anger, this righteous indignation that rose over him, but he destroyed the calf that they made proclaiming be the one that brought them out of the children of Israel, broke it down and made them drink it. Wow. Brad. Let's read this again. First, I want to point this out when he said that about it. I don't hear all this shouting they're doing. I don't hear the war. I hear the singing. That was profound. And then it said, as soon as he come nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the table out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf, which they had made, burn it in the fire, ground it to powder, strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. Wow. Made them drink their own vomit that they committed, basically. Wow. Man, reading the Old Testament is such an interesting book. Okay, let's keep going.
Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief.
Listen to this.
For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. Whereas for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire. And there came out this calf.
Okay. He's telling Moses. Moses, you know how these people are? You left me in charge of these people. You know, that's basically what he's saying. You know how these people are, Lord. So, I basically submitted to him. He threw it all in the fire and it came out a calf. So let's see what Moses does here.
And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them unto their shame among their enemies.
Oh, wow.
But Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus.
Pause. I am heaven. Oh, my goodness. Kathy, if you're watching this, did you catch on to what just happened? Wow. Bride, to a lot of you that have not been following me or the words that the Lord has been giving me over the past year or so about the judgment coming, when we did this 40 days fasting and praying, you know, the Lord showed us that He wanted us to address to Him the idols that we have committed in our nation and we have committed as a church. He wanted us to be real with Him. And when we got real with Him, you know, He revealed to the whole team, He's about to bring judgment to our nation. And we're going to answer for these idols. And when I was in Washington, D.C., I received a phone call from a lady that had a dream about people being exposed. You know, the Lord told us that He's about to expose people and the idols that they have in between. This is the word that He gave me about the year. I think it was on January 16th of 2018, was that whatever the idol is that's in between us and Him, He is about to strip that. He's about to take that idol from us. And He's going to write Ichabod on a lot of ministries, people's ministries that have been in error, that are stiff-necked, basically like this. So this God gave this woman a dream the other day of her being stripped naked in front of people. And that was her exposure and how humiliating it was when it was revealed to everybody what she had done and how she failed in everything. And then I'm sitting here reading this, and I feel like we're actually like living this now, because when Moses was up there and then they did this, that is what is happening to our nation right now. We have created this golden calf before God's eyes with all these idols. And so look what happened right here. Look at this. And Moses stood. Okay, no, here we go in verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And that's what that dream was, that God told this person in the dream that He is about to strip the church. He's going to strip the idols and everything off of them and expose things. But then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. So in other words, I just wanted to point that out. I'm telling you, bride, we need to pay attention to this story here. Let's keep going.
And the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother.
What?
And every man his companion. And every man his neighbor.
Wow.
And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men.
Wow. I didn't know that either, Brad. Oh, my goodness. This is so sad. Oh. Okay, so Moses comes off the mountain. He asked God not to pour out His wrath. Moses did. He asked God not to pour out His wrath upon these people that have built these idols in his country, okay? But then he comes down and he sees what they've done. And this righteous indignation comes over him. And he does it himself. He asks them, okay, who is on the Lord's side here? Out of all you people, who's on the Lord's side? And then these tribe comes up, this tribe of Levi. And then he tells them, go kill everybody else. Go kill them. Let's review this again. In other words, they're getting the idols out of the camp again. Have we not seen this before, Bride? About the how God hates idols. He detests it. And so he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man to sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. That is sad, isn't it? He got vengeance that day. Woo! And the children of Israel, the children of Levi, did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So, Bride, I just want to pause right here, and I want to encourage you today. Check your house. Check your house for any idols. Get them out. This is not the time to play around. This is not the time to be lukewarm. This judgment that's coming is towards the lukewarm. It's to clean the church out. He wants to use us for his glory. So he has to clean the vessels and get the idols out. Oh my goodness. So basically, he sent him throughout the whole camp and he said, I want all this gone. I want all the idols gone. All right, let's keep going.
But Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Then it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin.
Wow.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold.
Okay, pause right here. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up into the Lord. In other words, I'm going to go into great intercession for you. Look what y'all have done. Now I'm going to have to go up there and I'm going to have to, go with the Lord and talk to him about this because of what y'all have done. I mean, this is a serious offense. And what's happening in our country is a serious offense to the Lord right now, I'm telling you. Okay, so let's keep going here.
And now, if thou wilt forgive me,
verse 32,
and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
All right, pause. Listen to this, Brad. What he's saying right here is Moses is saying, God, my people have done this to you, Lord. They have created these idols. I'm asking you to forgive my people, Lord, and I'll take the sins upon myself. Moses was accepting the blame for what his people did, like a good leader does. But, Bride, this is where we have to pay attention right now, is the response of God, okay? Because remember, God told Moses the sin, the transgression of the people, and then Moses pleaded to God on behalf of them. But when Moses went down there and saw for his own eyes what they did, he had vengeance and he killed a bunch of them. And then he told them, if you're going to be here, you're going to live right. You're going to separate yourselves, get this mess out of the camp. Then he goes back to God. And he tells God, I will take the sin upon myself. You can blot my name out of the book. In other words, Bride, he was going to die for his people. He was willing to be a sacrifice for his people because he knew the transgression that they had done before God. But what was God's response? This is how we have to know God and his character. What was his response? He said, no, Moses. I will hold them accountable for what they did before me. Okay, Bride, so this is what we have to consider. We will answer to God for ourselves. If our pastor is in error, and we participate, or whatever leader it is, and we participate in that sin, we are just as guilty. If we're sitting under a leadership that we know is preaching falsely and we participate in that, we are just as guilty. We will answer to God for that ourself. Everyone is held accountable for their own self. For instance, when we vote, if we vote for people that are against God and against God's principles, we are participating in those sins, and that blood is on our hands. Why? Because we participated in that. Okay, so let's continue here.
Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made.
Okay, so what happened, Bride? What happened? This chapter is vital to where we are right now as Americans. Moses intervened. The judgment came. As far as Moses' judgment, he goes back and pleads to God. The judgment still came. A plague came, but it did not kill them. Okay? So remember, in the beginning, God was so angry at what they did, he wanted to wipe them all out. But through Moses' intercession, which is what our 40-day team pled with the Lord about, the 40 days over all these idols, is that God's mercy would be sustained and that it would be a lesser judgment as we address the throne about all these different issues. All right, so now God has addressed this about the calf, and now Moses has broke the Ten Commandments. And so let's see now what happens in chapter 33. And I think it's interesting that the children of Levi are the ones that stood up and said, "We are for God."
Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way."
Wow! Wow, wow, wow. Bride, do you remember, those of you that have been following my Bible studies, how I'm catching on to something about God's heart, about kings, remember? Remember I was saying, why is God upset about the children of Israel wanting a king? Well, we discover that it's because God was with them. Remember? God was with them in every situation. Remember how he was with Joseph? How he was with all of them. They didn't need a king, for God was there. And now what did God just tell Moses? This is really a sad thing, Bride. What he's saying is because they have tainted the camp, I can no longer go with you. Isn't that sad? We're seeing a shift in mankind. This right here is profound, because this is a shift in culture. God is now backing off of his people because of what they did. He sent them help. He sent them an angel, which he has through a lot of the other stories, remember? But let's review this again, because we're about to step into it. This is changing. This is a game changer. Let's review this again. This is vital. And the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go in up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I will consume you in the way." In other words, my my righteousness cannot stand to be around the sin that's been revealed. I mean, this is so sad. Where is my highlighter? I have got to highlight this in my Bible. This is a game changer. Okay, so this is, let's see, Exodus 33, verse 3. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee. I just think that's so sad, Bride. I'm so sad for the children of Israel there, and for Moses, all of the work that he put into it. But let's see what happens in the dynamics. Because remember, Bride, when we first started this Bible study, we asked the Lord, Lord, being that they're already attacking the Bible, we're asking that when we do the Bible study this year, Lord, that you would basically bury this deep in our heart and we would eat the scrolls. That the Word would become life, that you would make this Word come to life, that we would actually be living this, stepping back in time. And Bride, that is what it has been. I feel like I'm feeling the way these people feel, experiencing their culture, experiencing God's heart. I mean, it's amazing what we have learned in just these couple of books right here, Genesis and Exodus. We're here at the end of Exodus. We have learned so much about God. All right, so let's continue here. We're on verse 4 now, I think.
And when the people heard these evil tidings, yes, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee.
Oh!
And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle, and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp.
Okay, so right here, Bride, we are learning that God has left the building. God has left the camp. So now Moses has to set up this tent outside the camp. Why? Because they tainted themselves. They opened themselves up with these, when they built the golden calf. Man, this is so sad. All right, let's keep going.
To pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses.
Oh, man.
And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend.
Oh, man.
And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people.
Oh, Bride, is this not our heart today? Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Lord, let that be the cry of our heart today. Yes, Lord. Let's read that again. Where is it at? Okay. Now, verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Yes, Lord. We pray that today, Lord, yes, help us to find grace in your sight, Lord, that we may know him. We want to know him. Yes.
And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest.
Oh.
And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence.
Come on now. Amen. Bam in your face, devil. That is right. That is what we say today. Lord, we don't want to do anything without your presence. Not one thing. Not one thing. Don't send us if we will not have your presence. Yes, Lord. What a relationship between Moses and God, huh? I mean, this is pretty amazing.
Or wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Does God know us by name? Does he know your name? That is pivotal, Bride. Pivotal, yes, Lord.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Show me your glory, and said, Lord.
I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee.
Oh.
And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Wow.
He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
Wow.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by.
Oh.
And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
Woohoo, does that make you want to cry, Bride? Oh my goodness. Lord, pass by, Lord.
Exodus 34.
That is so intimate, Bride.
And the Lord said unto Moses, give thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest.
What? Hold on a minute. What? God redeemed the tablets? What? That is so merciful, Bride. Because remember, Moses got mad. He got angry and he destroyed the word that God wrote himself. So God's saying, I'll give them to you again. What mercy is that of God? That is amazing.
And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first.
Wow.
Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud,
man,
and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord.
Wow.
And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
Oh my goodness.
Giving mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation.
All right, pause. We're getting some key nuggets right here, Bride. Key nuggets from God. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. I want to encourage you, Brad. It's still that way. That we are still held accountable for open doors that our family members opened. It's still, we're answering for it until repentance comes. And so, I make sure if I hear of a sin, like from my forefathers, I repent of it. I'm like, Lord, please forgive my family for doing that. Okay, let's keep going. Now we're on 8.
And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance.
What?
And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation.
All right, pause. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, now this is Moses talking to God, okay? He said, If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. What? You mean Moses is talking negative? You know how people say today they don't want to talk about sin because it's negative. Listen. When you get real with God, it's going to get ugly. Sin is messy, people. Sin is messy. It's ugly. But we have to get real with God. And that this story is so amazing because it shows how God's heart is about sin and about truthfulness. What if we always went to God and it was always just positive? Or it was either always, gimme, gimme, gimme. Or bless me, Lord, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing that, and never getting real with God and never repenting of your sins and never addressing issues within your own heart, never allowing God to correct us or rebuke us. That's a true son and daughter of God. He said, if you're my son and daughter, then you will be corrected, you will be whipped. I am a father, hello.
And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite.
Yes.
Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee.
All right, pause. Brian, I'm telling you, this is some keys to us today. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Now, this is God talking right back to him, right? He says, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Yes, listen, Brad. What we are about to see in the earth has never been done before. Let me tell you, God is unique. God likes to do things different, even in signs, miracles, and wonders. That's why it is so key for us to hear the Lord in this hour and to obey Him even when it sounds dumb. Because, you know, dumb in our eyes, it may not be dumb in His eyes, but obedience is the key. So He wants to do unique miracles. He wants to do unique judgments. That's what He's telling him right here. He's like, what you're about to see has never been done before. Well, what did He do before? Frogs, pestilence, all types of things. So He's saying it's going to be different than that. All right, let's keep going.
Ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. But thou shalt worship no other god, For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous,
jealous God. Pause. Wow, he's saying, take heed to yourself. Pay attention, Moses. Listen to what I'm saying. Do this or else. That's what God is saying. He is saying, take heed to yourself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where thou goest. Why? Because God wants them consecrated. God is jealous. He doesn't want them mixing. He doesn't want us mixing. He doesn't want us partnering with the world, partnering with New Age, partnering with the occult, partnering with rock and roll music, partnering with worldly music. He doesn't want us looking like Egypt, acting like Egypt, talking like Egypt, participating with Egypt, bringing Egypt in the sanctuary. Nothing, not a thing. He wants all idols out. O-U-T, do you get it? Out. That's what he's saying right here. He's saying, but you, okay, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Bride, I can't tell you the people I've seen that will compromise. They'll compromise a little bit in ministry. And then what happens? It ends up overtaking them. You cannot compromise. We cannot touch the unclean thing. Going into these other lands, partnering with other religions like ecumenical movement, when you partner with these things, you're tainted. You cannot. He says right here, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee, but you shall destroy their altars. What? Oh my goodness, you mean I gotta speak against other religions and speak against these other idols? Yes! Tear down them altars. Get rid of them. Because he says right here, you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God. No other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. All right, let's continue.
Make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods.
Come on.
And do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods.
Yep.
And make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck.
Wow.
All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty.
Wow.
6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In gearing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders.
Wow.
Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year.
Wow. Paul. Whoa. Okay, God is saying, I want the first of everything in your life. I want all the firstborn except of the ass, he said. But I want all the firstborn. Then I want you to bring your children up to me 3 times a year. Listen here. When you bring your children up to me, nobody better want their land. That's what God is saying. He's like saying, I'm going to protect your land. Don't worry about a thing. Let's keep going.
I'll offer the blood of my sacrifice with father shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights.
What?
And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Wow.
And it came to pass when Moses came down.
All right, pause. Give me just a moment. I've been battling this all week. Sorry. Okay. Here he is, Moses. This is another 40-day encounter. This is what happened when Moses went up to the mountain. When he went up there to the mountain, that was a 40 days as well. So now he's giving it to him again. I say this is mercy, Brad.
The Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone.
What? What?
And Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him.
Wow, Brad. Wow. I've got to share a story. Lord, let my throat work, Lord, please. I've been battling a sore throat. Heal my throat, Lord. I'll never forget when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was at a First Assembly of God in Ashland City. And this was back in 1988. I had never been filled before. I was always taught that that was of the devil, the Holy Ghost. And so I went up there to the front of the church and I asked the pastor, I told him, I said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he had the elders come up and they laid hands on me. And let me tell y'all something, Brad. It was so amazing. I felt this light shine down from heaven upon my head. And it consumed my whole body. It was like a burning fire. My whole body was burning. And I felt this fire, and then I felt my tongue, and I was being filled, and I received my language. It was like stammering lips. I felt this beauty and this love like I'd never felt. And I was consumed in His glory. And then when I turned around to the church, I felt like my face shined the entire church. Like, I could feel the glory on me. I could feel the weight of it. And it was shining to the whole church. And so when I read this, this is what I think of, is the glory of the Lord. And then when I sat down, it was Pastor Bailey, Pastor Terry Bailey. And he looked at me and he said, wow, June, you really got the Holy Ghost, didn't you? I was like, yes. Yes. Excuse me. Let's continue, Brad.
And Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face.
Oh my goodness.
But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off.
Oh.
And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded.
Wow.
And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again, until he went in to speak with him.
Wow, Lord. Lord, let your glory fall, Lord. Yes. Isn't this a beautiful story? Alright, 35, Brian.
And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them, 6 days shall work be done.
So now he's telling them, okay.
The seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death.
What?
It shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the seventh day.
Wow.
Then Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and rams of skins dyed red, and badgers' skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and scum.
Hey, don't forget the shittim wood is what they created the tabernacle with. Remember, right, I was looking it up. What is shittim wood?
This is for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his thatches, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves.
Brad, I can't help but think, remember we was talking about how God is so amazing about the intricate details, remember, that he gives us about his buildings, about the way that he wants things done, like the way that he wanted the tabernacle built, and remember, like, even when you did the Ark of the Covenant, it was like everything had to be certain, specific, and the same way with the Ark, Noah with the Ark. He's like, I wanted this tile, and this, and with this wood. And God is so amazing. And that's what he's saying right here. And do you know, Brad, he still does the same thing today. If you will allow him, he'll give you dreams and tell you how to do all this stuff. He does me, he'll tell me, okay, I want you to create this logo, and I want you to do it like this. And he'll give me the whole visual and tell me how to do it. Or when I go on tours, he'll tell me, okay, I want you to go to this city, and I want you to do it like this and this. He still does this today. God is still supernatural today. All right, let's continue.
And the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord.
Aww.
And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and red skins of rams and badgers' skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine.
God likes blue, purple, and scarlet.
All women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate, and spice, and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
Wow.
And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he he hath filled him with the spirit of God, to understanding and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart, that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work.
Wow. Okay, Brian, let's pause here. We're going into our last chapter. Look at what God's doing. God told Moses all this in this 40-day encounter again, right? And then he tells him all these specific jobs for certain people within the camp. I think that's so awesome that these people had a destiny. They are to be the ones that woven this and the ones that did this and the engraver and all this. I mean, how awesome was it to be able to participate in this? Amen. Okay, now we're on the last chapter, 36.
Exodus 36. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. All the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing.
Wow, there was so much fruit. Wow.
All the work to make it, and too much. And every wise-hearted man among them that brought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size.
See?
And he coupled the 5 curtains one unto another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. Likewise he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain.
God, it's so funny.
And 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 taches of gold and coupled the curtains one unto another with the taches. So it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain, and the coupling.
Wow.
And 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain, which coupled the second.
50 loops, Brian.
And he made 50 taches of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits, and the breadth of a board 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side southward. And 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20.
This had to be huge.
2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards, and their 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards, and 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle and the 2 sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to 1 ring. Thus he did to both of them and both the corners. and there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, under every board 2 sockets, and he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other, and overlaid the boards
amazing.
With gold, and made their rings of gold to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold.
Wow.
And made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with cherubims made he it of cunning work. And he made thereunto 4 pillars of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold.
Wow.
And gold. And he cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass.
Wow, Brian, can you just imagine how beautiful it was to have the best of everything? Remember, we talked about that last time. God wants this with the best wood, blinding gold, the best material. It's pretty amazing how God does. But anyways, Brad, I guess that finishes our Bible study today. And when we get back on this on Monday, I pray I'm feeling a lot better and, you know, we'll be able to be better at it. So listen, I pray you have a wonderful weekend and God bless you, Brad. I love you. Remember, too, that you can find all the rest of these Bible studies at theamericanexpose.com.